Anyone know what a gobstopper is? Of course we do. She goes, I bought this young man some godstoppers. I said, what? She goes, some godstoppers. I said, godstoppers? You mean gobstoppers? Oh, well, whatever they are, they stop something. It's how you hear, isn't it? Hey?
All right, it was me, okay?
I didn't say anything. Yeah. So we got a pack of the godstoppers at home. All right. But I'm telling you now, the devil has some godstoppers. And he wants you to taste of them to stop the work of God in your life. Amen. So we've got to be aware that we have to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. More than this hour. Turn with me, please, to the book of Amos 8, verse 11. Amos 8 and 11. And it says, behold, the days are coming. Who understands we're in them days? The days are coming, says the Lord, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor of thirst of water, but a hearing of the words of the Lord. Now, he doesn't say there's a famine of the word. There is plenty of word, but there's a famine of the hearing of the word. Amen. There's a famine of the hearing of the word. We are in the days when there's a famine of hearing the word of the Lord. Not a famine of the word, but a famine of the hearing. And that's why you will see in the last days that there will be a harvest coming, but at the same time there'll be a great falling away happening. Because what is happening, there is a famine of hearing the word. Hallelujah. Even though you hear it, when he talks about hearing the word, it means accepting it, humbling oneself before it, and activating yourself upon it. That's what it literally means to hear the word. Amen. Jeremiah 5, 21 to 22 says this, hear now this, O foolish people, without understanding. He's talking to Israel. Who has eyes to see and not, and who has eyes and sees not, and who has ears and hears not. Do you not fear me? So one of the things that stopped me hearing the voice of God is no fear of God. Says the Lord, will you not tremble at my presence, who has placed the sand as the bound of the sea, a perpetual degree, that it cannot pass beyond it? So God's laid a boundary. And though its waves toss to and fro, it cannot prevail. Though they roar, they will not, cannot pass over it. Verse 23, but this people has a defiant and rebellious heart. If you're going to get anything today, write this down. Your hearing affects your heart. Your hearing affects your heart. They have revolted and departed. So a lack of famine of hearing the word is a heart issue. It is a heart issue. It doesn't mean you need hearing aids. It doesn't mean you have to go and get the... Actually, I was going to put a picture up there, but it was a bit gross. There was a picture. There's this picture. I want you to try and imagine it. And this man's looking down this little girl's ear. She was about 9. And he saw this blue thing with a black hole in it. It looks like an eye. It literally looked like an eye in this child's ear. He's a doctor. He went, ooh. I went, look at that. And I'm pressing YouTube. I'm pressing play, you know, go forward. But it was a blue grommet with a bit of black wax in the middle. Shed grommets. So, but it's amazing. Things that we perceive can affect my ear aren't really the things that affect my ear. But the things that I perceive not, because it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. He's talking about the foregrounds. The wayside, the stony ground, the thorny ground, and the good ground. Okay? All these grounds represent my heart. Okay? Then he goes on to say this. Actually, turn there in your Bible if you can. We might go a little bit earlier. Matthew 13. I'll read from verse 4. And as he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. The birds are enemy, the devils. Some fell on stony places, and they did not immediately have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop some hundredfold, 60 and 30. He who has a, let him hear. Then Jesus explains the parable, and I'm going to go from to verse 14. And he says, and in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand. Seeing you will see and not perceive, for the hearts of the people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Hardness of hearing will make my heart grow dull. If I don't allow the hearing to occur in my life, which literally means that I submit to Him, I acknowledge His word higher than my own opinion, and surrender and humble myself before Him, activate that word in my life, what can happen, the things of life can dull my heart. Anyone ever had a dull heart? Two hands, actually. Because what has happened is I've allowed my perception and allowed my understanding to dictate more than God's word. Are you with me? So we see this, that the hearts of the people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have been closed, lest they should see with their hearts and hear with their eyes. Hear with their ears and see with their eyes. At verse 16, it says this, But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Assuredly, I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and hear what you hear and did not hear it. If you are born again here this morning, you have the capacity to hear more than what people of the Old Testament or any other prophet heard. You have the capacity to hear more. You have the capacity to see more than what they've ever seen. In fact, the Bible says they were envious of this day. They're envious of you because God wants to show you things and myself and let me hear things in yourselves more than what you've ever could imagine or think. He wants to be in communion with you and I. But there's sometimes some things that harden my ear to hear, and therefore something arises in me, a thing called rebellion, rises within me because I think my way is greater than His way. Last week I was speaking about building the altar. What I literally am doing is building an altar of bricks. My perception, how I think God would be happy. And really, if I look at that, religion is this. Religion is your perception and my perception, how I believe God would be best served, how I think. That's what religion is. But you're not called to be religious. You're called to have a relationship. And relationship means I've got to position myself with an ear to hear. That means sometimes I might have to struggle with me. Anyone ever struggled with him, me? Sometimes I have to arrest the thought patterns in my mind because they are contrary to the things and the ways of God. Amen? I just said something in Matthew 13. It says this. Some will bring forth 60-fold, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. The seed that he's talking about is you and I. The seed will produce the seed, you and I, if it allows to be fallen on good ground, will produce a 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. And if you have an ear to hear this morning, hear this, babe, child, son. I'm going to say it again. Babe, child, son, 30, 60, 100. My yieldness of my ear to hear will determine the result of my heart, which will then be submitted unto his ways and his works, therefore will transform me to become a son. Or I can stay a babe. Or I can grovel with as a child. But 1 Corinthians 3 and 1 says, are you not yet carnal while there's still envy, strife, and division among you? Are you yet still a babe in Christ? A babe in Christ is still playing around with those carnal issues and things in life that they refuse to let go of, and they park in their past. And one of the greatest reasons they park in the past, and we'll get onto this in a minute, one of the greatest things the devil will use in your life and my life to stop me moving into the purposes of God to become a son is offense. Most Christians that backslide or fall away from the faith, is probably a better way of putting it, is because of one issue and one issue alone, offense. It's either offense with someone. They think God's offended them. But if they were men of the word and had an ear to hear, they would understand that Jesus says, many offenses shall never be surprised by offense. Offenses not maybe come, they shall come. And the reason they're coming is, how will I react to the offense? What will happen in my heart? Will I allow that offense to be a hardness of my ear? Therefore, it dulls my heart. Therefore, now I'm in not a relationship. I'm in a place of religion. I will come to church. I will sing a song. I will lift up my hands. But you can't have all of me until that is fixed. But thank God, God circumcises, it says in Isaiah, the ear. If you allow him to come, he can circumcise the hardness even of your ear. So you can have a fresh hearing relationship, which will then infect your heart to come into a place with him. Glory to God. But too many saints are walking away from God, walking away from other saints because of a thing called offense. Here's the issue. I'm getting a little bit off track, but that's all right. It's so much in me, I can't help it. Here's the issue. When you take up offense, when you allow offense to camp around your heart, when it's hardened your ear, you've stopped the flow of one of the most important aspects of your Christian faith, a thing called faith. You cannot have offense and walk in faith. Faith comes by, and hearing comes by. Therefore, if I'm not hearing, I can't have faith. Therefore, if I haven't got faith, I've got no hope. So now I'm caught in this position of offense, and it keeps me in my now moment, living for the now. Most people that are backslidden live in a now moment. Happiness for the now. Do what I need to do to be entertained for the now. But God doesn't speak of your now. He speaks to your future. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope for. Hope for. And the things I'm hoping for, and I'm going to make this a clarion call here this morning, the things that you're hoping for are not stuff of the now experience. You can have that. God can bless you with that. But it should never have your heart. The thing that you're hoping for is thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, the day of the Lord's return. That is my hope. That is my blessed hope. That is what I'm expecting, because when he comes back, I'm with him. Where there's no more tears, where there's no more sorrow, where there's no more pain, where there's no more fat. Praise the Lord. No more cardiac arrests. Because I'm perfect in Him. I'll be as He is on this earth. But what happens with, and it happened to me, what happens is when offense comes, it will stop you hearing. And there is voices, God stoppers, that will stop you hearing the truth of the word, because your opinion has been elevated. Your knowledge and your wisdom has elevated it above the knowledge of God. When you want revenge, Jesus says, turn the other cheek. When you want to have a piece of him or her, Jesus says, give them a piece of you. Submit yourselves one to another. When they become unlovely, or you become unlovely, you've got to love them in return. Everything that is opposite. So to walk in the Spirit is to walk with a hearing ear that will constantly keep my heart supple before Him. It won't grow dull. It'll keep it tender. Because if I don't allow it to be tender, there has to be a circumcision of the heart of stone to give me back a heart of flesh. Because a heart of stone can't feel. But a heart of flesh can be moved. But they circumcise babies at roughly 8 days old. They do that because there's usually no blood. And if you've ever been to one of them ceremonies, it's quite graphic. But the older you get as a man, and there needs to be circumcision, the more pain there is. And so in my Christian walk, I need him to do what he needs to do at an early stage in my life. I've got to keep humbling myself and say, God, take away the hardness of heart. Change me. Amen? Change me. Keep my heart soft. Give me an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. To be obedient to the Spirit is walking in the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of your... Next one, please. This type of hearing is not just any normal hearing, but a hearing of the Word. So you hear the Word, you yield upon the Word, and you act upon the Word. You hear the Word, you yield to the Word, and you act upon the Word. He is likened unto a man that has received seed on good ground. A ground tilled. The good ground is a ground that is tilled. A good ground is being weed, is getting it weed free. A good ground is removing the rocks and the stones, the hardness of my heart. The good ground. Amen. And sometimes we need to weed the ground. Sometimes we need to uproot those things that are trying to rob the ground of life. Because that's what a weed does. It robs the ground of life. The devil wants to destroy life in me and you. Jesus has come to give me and more abundantly. But that's if I allow them things to grow in my life and take root in my life, it will rob me of life. It will rob me of everything God wants to put into me as seed. The hearing, the yielding, the act upon the word yields a crop. I've said that. Go next one, please. In the last days, the love of many will wax cold. Isn't that what the Bible says? The love of many will wax cold. One of the major causes of one's heart to become anything other than good ground or God's intends is the weeds of the rocks called offense. Offense is wicked. Offense is something is promoting oneself's opinion and thoughts above someone else's. It's one of the greatest acts of pride you can have. And may I be humble enough to say it like this. You can be right in your assumption, but you can be so wrong in how you're doing it. Offense that can cause one's heart to become unyielding or rebellious to his word. The enemy uses offense to cause one's ear to grow dull to his leading and one's heart to grow hard and resistant to his ways. His ways are the instruction and direction of love, forgiveness, mercy, and grace. Love, forgiveness, and mercy, and grace. And if one of those things is missing with a person, I'm in a place of offense. Hallelujah. It is not worth it. It will rob you. It will stop you. It will be a God stopper in your life. It will hinder your walk in the Lord. Hallelujah. When one loses the capacity to hear, one will resort to the old way of living or operating in the realm of the soul. If you're not walking by faith, you will be walking by something. I'm going to say that again. If you're not walking by faith, you will be walking by something. If offense has got a place in my heart, I will go straight back to the area or the realm of my soul. Your mind, your will, your emotions. I'll be led by those things. And they are liars and they are deceivers. For the heart is deceptively wicked above all things, my Bible says. My heart is just waiting to be operated and moved upon by what I hear. So if I allow my soul to dictate to my heart, I will walk in the realm of the soul, which means I'll go by my feelings. I'll go by my feelings. I'll go by my own wisdom. I'll go by my own desires. So can you be a soulish Christian? I can't hear you. Yes, you can. That's the child. Galatians 4. The child's under tutors and instructors. And even though he's a child, even though he is a one that inherits, he is still a servant. He's still coming under instruction. But he's no different from a servant. He needs that leaning and that guiding into sonship. So he's got to walk out of the soul realm back into the spirit realm. James 1:19 says this. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be what? Swift to hear. Without a walk of faith, I will walk in the realm of the soul and I'll not walk by faith. Therefore, if I don't walk by faith, I won't have a hope. And so what I'm doing, I'm not living. I'm existing. I'm existing for a now moment. Another stimulus to provoke me and lift me up. Another thing to stimulate me, to keep me happy and joyous instead of being rooted and grounded in Him. Because my joy is His joy is my strength. You see, as a Christian, I can be in a prison and still sing a song. I can still be shut behind a prison door and still give Him glory. I can say things like this, that I might be poured out as a sacrifice before Him and not be worried about and consumed about this world. Things like, God, You'll supply all my needs according to Your riches and glory. Not worrying about where my next meal's coming from, because my God feeds the birds of the air and He'll get it to me somehow in some way. Living a life of faith. Hallelujah. But offense will rob you of that. Offense will make you camp around your pain and your hurt. And I'm not minimizing pain and hurt. They are real. And we've all experienced it. I believe we would have experienced that. That is a real thing. But if you live and keep living that thing, you are walking wounded. God has more for you than it. God has so much more for you than it. Amen? Who believes God's got more for them than what they're living in now? But it has to be operated in by a walk of faith. There was a church in Revelation 3:14 called the Laodicean Church who lost the way and went their way. This is the church that Jesus was standing at the door and knocking. This was the church that they said, return back to your first love. Because When my heart goes in the soul realm, I lose my first love. Laodicea literally means the people's opinions or people's rules. You're ruling your own life. I'm ruling my own life. They lost their faith. They lost their first love. They made their opinion greater than the commandments of God. Living a good religious life. There were people that were caught between two opinions, like Elijah's people. They were caught between two opinions. The problem was that they were robbed from the presence of God because he wasn't in the house. He was outside the door. And hear me, God never gives up. I'm telling you now, I don't care who they are. I don't care if they're backslidden. I don't care if they're not walking with Jesus right now. I don't care if they're into stuff they shouldn't be into. God is on their case and he's knocking at their door. They can't stop him knocking at the door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice. Hear that? Humbling. Hear my voice. I will come into him and then I will sup with him, communion, and I will dine with him. Hallelujah. God is continuously knocking at the door of everyone's heart. But there has to be an hearing ear to open the door afresh. Hallelujah. The Laodicean church was a church that was powerless and without presence. They were just fulfilling a role. And what their standard of the Lord was, offense. Their standard was offense. That's what they were raising. When a person's consumed in offense, most of their vocabulary will be about the offense. Because as a man speaks, that's his heart. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth. Amen. But if I'm prepared to prepare the ground of my heart and bow the knee and allow a hearing of the ear to hear afresh and say, God, circumcise my ear. Circumcise my ear that I might hear to change my heart. Guess what happens? He comes in. And the one of the things with Jesus, he never brings it back up. The one who offends you shall bring it up. The devil will constantly remind you of your failings and your past. When Jesus visited the 12 disciples of the 120 in the upper room, and he spoke to them, and he said this, going to Samaria, Jerusalem, Samaria, and Judea, and to all the most parts of the world, not once did Jesus bring up their fault. Not once did he say to them, Peter, why did you leave me? Not once did he say to Thomas, hey, you doubter. Because a man of the Spirit never brings up the past. They speak hope and future. Amen. Offense will keep me parked in the past. That's what offense does. Anyone ever been offended? You're such an honest church. Hard to find these days. He warned us offenses will come in Luke 17 and 1. But I want to challenge you this morning. Don't be happy being 30-fold. Don't be happy being 60-fold. Give him everything. Give him everything. And the first place I start to do that is my offenses. Because offenses become fences. And they corral you and limit you and dull your heart. And even though I might be a church, the Laodicean church, it was a church, you can lose your first love. And you can have all the trimmings, but you ain't in the house. But he wants to be part of the house. Amen. You and I can't afford to walk with that stuff. I must walk in the liberty of the Spirit of God. No matter who they are, and no matter what they've done, I must allow that offense to be gone in Jesus' name. Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying this morning. Every church in Revelations finished on that note. No one is exempt. Only five churches in the book of Revelations were told to repent. But every church in Revelations was told, have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. It is imperative in the hour more than ever before that I have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. There are so many voices wanting your ear and my ear. But if I incline, it says, incline your ear to hear. If I humble myself before him, he will speak. Hear me. He will speak. Sometimes when he speaks, it's the opposite of what I think I should hear. Don't say sorry that I rebuke that in the name of you, devil. How dare you? Lord, bring them to this house on their knees. Cause them to repent before me. How dare he talk to me like that? Who does he think he is? Exactly. And all of a sudden, there's a disconnect, and the heart left to its own devices will grow dull. Amen. Hallelujah. Every eye closed, every head bowed this morning. And ask you a question, a very pertinent question, a very real question, a very personal question. Do you really trust him? Can you give what it is to him? Not expecting to get back what you think you deserve or you need, but trust him. If there's anything in anyone's life this morning, some weeds, some rocks, it's stopping the growth. You're reading your Bible. You're listening to worship. But it just ain't happening. That's you this morning. Just bow your heads. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. Bow your heads this morning. And tell him that you trust him. And I give it to you, Jesus. I refuse to try and work this out. I give it to you. I refuse to try and work this out. I give it to you. Father, forgive us of any offense we might have picked up. Forgive us this morning. I leave it at the foot of the cross. Father, help me to get up to walk on. Father, I thank you. You're at my door. I thank you now. I have an ear to hear that you're coming in. Help me to be a person that walks by faith and not by sight. That my future is not in my now moment, but my future's in you. I thank you for that. I thank you for reviving my heart. Thank you for the reviving of my spirit. I thank you I'll be a son of God. Because it's the sons of God that the earth is groaning for. I thank you today is my day of release in Jesus' name. I thank you this morning. You're a God of new beginnings. And I receive that new beginning in Jesus' name. I thank you. I put them old things as old. And I seal them in the Holy Ghost. that I move on in life with you. Yes, Lord, you've come to bring me life,
yes,
and life more abundantly.
Amen.
I receive your life this morning,
yes,
in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And I thank you for it. And I glorify you, Jesus, that in my life you might receive all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name.
Amen.
If that's you this morning, shout an amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He's a good God. He's a good God that does good things. Sometimes we just have to face some stuff. He'll do that personally and privately. But if you don't deal with your offense, he might do it publicly. Just read James 1 and 2. He gives me time. He's so gracious and so merciful, so loving. But God doesn't care if you get offended. He'd rather offend you than save your soul and let you go. Amen?
Amen.
Love you. Appreciate you. Honor you. Please stay for a cup of tea and a cup of coffee in Jesus' name. Amen.